This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Lawmakers in the State House have until the end of this day to file any bills they have not yet submitted. Hundreds of proposals are already up for debate. One plan would increase the number of courses a university professor is required to teach to 4 per semester. That measure is starting to get national attention. Meanwhile, another bill would make a simple assault a felony charge for students who assault their teachers. Serious assaults are already felonies. Lawmakers are also considering a measure that would allow people who are in this country illegally to get a driver's permit. Here to talk about that and more are WUNC legislative reporters Jeff Tiberi and Jorge Valencia, and they join us from Raleigh. Jeff, I'll start with you. Welcome back. Good to talk with you.
Nice to speak with you as well, Frank.
Let's get right into it. One bill requires professors at the UNC system campuses to teach a minimum number of courses, 4, as I understand it. Tell us about that.
So Senate Bill 593 was filed by a freshman legislator within the last couple of weeks, and it has been referred to a committee. It's unclear, you know, at what pace this is going to move forward or if it will move forward at all, but it would require all professors at the UNC system, all of them as it currently stands in the legislation, to teach 8 courses per academic year. Now, for comparison's sake, that would about double the course load of professors at NC State. The concern from the professor's standpoint is that, you know, this is really going to cut down on time that they have to do research and to do other endeavors in addition to teaching. The bill also calls for a reduction of pay. If you don't meet 8 courses per academic year, you'll be paid on a basis of how many classes you do actually teach. And obviously many at the higher education level are concerned and do not support this.
Of course, people in the academy know the part of the theory of an academic education and structure is that you do a lot of research to back up your teaching. We don't want to keep you in the classroom the whole time. We need you out doing research. So this has gotten some national attention, right? This is a big structural change for what is the university, right?
It has. A couple of national pieces, a couple of op-eds have, taken note of this. One has been particularly pointed in its criticism of it. But here we are, about 3 months into legislative session. We've had more than 1,600 bills filed. So we're going to start to see in the next few weeks which ones get attention and which ones are moving forward. There are a lot of interesting proposals that the lawmakers have submitted since late January. But of those 1,627 as it currently stands, obviously many of them aren't going to go anywhere, and it's unclear if or which camp this bill will eventually fall into.
Other legislation that's getting some attention, new punishments for assaulting a teacher. Under this law, students 16 years of age and older could face a felony charge for simple assault. Now, explain us that this is a change in the law, because right now if you assault a teacher and it's a serious assault, it can be – it's up to the prosecutor to make it a felony or not. This law would require a felony for simple assault. Am I right about this?
That's correct. And the statute for simple assault in the state, as I understand it, is much more broad, meaning that if I were to intimidate you or if a student were to intimidate a teacher, perhaps stick a finger in some teacher and educator's face or – it could be a verbal threat of some sort. It doesn't necessarily have to be physical, but if it is deemed assault, it then could be, upgraded or now under this new proposal, could become a felony.
All right. Here's Representative Jerry Tillman, who sponsored the bill.
This has become a serious problem across the nation and is beginning to be manifested in North Carolina. We had about 1,300 and some reported attacks on teachers last year, and many of these, sorry to say, do not get reported. I don't know what the actual number would be, but you can be assured that it's higher than that.
There's Jerry Tillman talking about 1,300 and some, although I've seen a report that said half of those were committed by students who had IEPs. In other words, they were special students. They may have had emotional disabilities. They would be exempt under this. Am I right?
They would, but opponents or folks who have offered some concerns about this legislation say that, an additional of the perhaps, remaining half or so of the assaults that that took place by an assailant who was not under an IEP. Opponents say many of those students, do have some challenges and might fall under an at-risk category. So, there's this gray area that opponents are concerned about not only charging them with a felony, but what the long-term effects of that would be.
Especially for a 16-year-old, it really limits their possibilities for making an honest living. After that, here's Senator Angela Bryant, who does oppose the legislation.
By creating this felony, even if we narrow it, we're talking about basically hindering the opportunities for these particular children who obviously already have some kind of problem in terms of being well enough adjusted.
And of course, as simple assault can be a verbal assault. It can be anything, frankly, that the teacher considers an assault would then rise to the level of a felony for a 16-year-old. So we'll watch that legislation as it makes its way through. Jorge Valencia, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest has put his support behind a bill that would prohibit the state from working with anyone who has investments in Iran. Tell us about that bill.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, well, as you know, the lieutenant governor doesn't have the ability to introduce legislation himself, but he's backing Senator Rick Gunn. He's one of the top Republicans in the Senate. And the bill would, in short, cut off any companies that from state investment that have any dealings with Iran's energy sector. Now, I checked with the Treasurer's Department, and the thing is that the state has had this policy since 2012. This is in pursuant of a federal law that was put in place in 2010. So some people, some Democrats sort of responded saying that they think that this is just kind of like politics, that this is a little bit of a political jab at the president and Secretary of State Kerry, who is right now in communications with a possible plan, a 15-year plan, nuclear negotiations with Iran, along with the members of the European Union. And if you want to talk politics, I mean, this happened to happen. This bill happened to come up at the same time that Texas Senator Ted Cruz was here in North Carolina. He gave a speech to a conservative group on Monday, and his focus was on foreign policy. And one of the things that he brought up was that he felt that President Obama is being way too lenient with Iran.
All right, two immigration bills up for debate in committee yesterday. One would require employers to participate in the federal E-Verify program. Tell us about that.
Yes. So right now, North Carolina has a law that was passed in 2014 that says that any employer who has more than 25 or more employees has to use this federal database that shows potential employees' eligibility to legally work in the U.S. This that was hard fought in 2014. And now this would reduce that. This would make it tighter. This would make businesses with five or more employees to use that. So the people who are backing this bill have quite a strong perspective on this. And actually, one of them is Representative George Cleveland. He's from Onslow County, and we've got some tape from him, I believe.
We brought this on ourselves. The state did. The state caused this problem. We've allowed a huge illegal population in the state. We've taken away employment from our citizens. We've lowered the wage base because of the illegals working in the state.
All right. There's George Cleveland again. You know, as your colleague Jeff DeBury pointed out, there are a lot of bills floating around right now. Any sense of how much support this one has?
Well, this one had enough support to pass through it, get its first nod in a committee in the House of Representatives. It's going to go to another committee. It would have to get through through the chamber by the end of the month, because that's the deadline that they have for bills to cross over to the other chamber. It's still unclear where this would go. Now, the thing is that there was another immigration bill that came up this week that similarly addresses immigration, but sort of does it from a different perspective. And this one would actually give people who are in the country illegally, it would make them eligible to apply for a restricted driver's license if they, one, pass a criminal background check, and two, get their fingerprints taken. Now, the rationale behind this one, this got the support of the statewide police association. The state, the rationale behind this one, this is Representative Harry Warren. He's a Republican who introduced this bill. The rationale is that it'll help actually law enforcement when they interact with people who are in the country illegally, because right now they'll pull them over. They won't have any kind of identification. So the statewide police association is actually supporting this. And I spoke to somebody actually from Charlotte who was in agreement, who thought that this was a good idea. Her name is Maudia Melendez. And I believe we've got some tape from her, too.
We do.
They drive in without taking the test. Not because they want to, but because they can't. And all of that is going to be eliminated.
Maria Melendez of Jesus Ministries in Charlotte, speaking in support of a bill that has some Republican support. Well, Jeff Tabiri, let me ask you, we've got about a minute left, but you filed a piece earlier this week on the effects of the expired tax credits for the film industry. Talk about that and the impact that's having and whether or not it's making any headway in the legislature.
So tax credit expired in January. Currently, there are only three productions making making TV series or movies in the Wilmington region. No additional productions are expected to take place early this year or scheduled to come in. And local business owners are hurting. They say they're hurting down 20% to 30% in volume and revenue, and that they expect it to get worse this summer. And we say local business, think sign shops, lumber yards making sets, and also service industries that are dealing with folks who are coming in, rental car companies, hotels, restaurants. The estimated spending by the film industry in the Wilmington region is expected to drop this year from $170 million in 2014 to $50 million this year. And the conversation moving forward will center not around tax incentives or tax breaks, but a grant program. For the first 6 months of this year, $10 million was allocated. That has since dried up. Some powerful Senate leaders say that they're fine with another $10 million going toward film for an annual allocation, but the film industry would like $66 million. So a large area in between, and film folks say that they need the number of $10 million mm-hmm. to come way up if film's going to do well.
Jeff Tabiri, Jorge Valencia, thank you both.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, retired Colonel Chris Hadfield talks about his path to becoming an astronaut and now in retirement. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.